Our study this morning will be on the will of God. The will of God. You often hear people say that are Christians, well, I want to find the will of God for my life. I've been looking for the will of God for my life. And it's like they think that one day they'll just be walking along and lo and behold, there it is, laying somewhere in the weeds. Oh, Mike, there it is, the will of God. I've been looking for that. Well, I got news for them. Just like Sir Edmund Hillary did not happen to just be walking around one day and ended up at the top of Mount Everest, neither will you accidentally discover God's will for your life. Some years ago, I got an envelope from my sister, Nancy, and it was her will in that envelope. And she said, when I die, I want my family to be able to find my will. Her will is written for her family to find. Similarly, God's will for you is written down. That will, His will, is in the Word. The will of God is in the Word of God. To find it, you've got to go there. Like my sister's will, your will, my will, His will, it must be read. The reading of the will is a common term when someone dies. So you say, how do you sort this out? How do you find it in the Word? Well, first, you must know the difference between God's desires and God's determinations. In the Scripture, there are two main words in the Scripture that are translated will. Like your will, my will, my sister's will, there's the word bolamai, B-O-U-L-A-M-A-I. Bolamai means to determine or to purpose. There's another word in Scripture that's translated will, and that is thelo, T-H-E-L-O in the Greek, and it's to desire or to wish. So this morning, we must distinguish between these two. One, God's purpose or intent, that which He has determined that can't be changed, and His wish or desire for your life and mine. Generally speaking, the things that God has determined or purposed, the bolamai word, are unchangeable. Like our last will or my sister's last will, they are set in concrete. They're unchangeable, even by a judge. Bolamai refers to things like our salvation, our hope, our calling, our forgiveness, His love, death. There's nothing that can be done about these. They are bolamai, determined, set by God. But here is the good part of that. It is here in this part of God's will that we find our foundation, if you will, our stake in the ground. In His will that is predetermined, we find our strength, our confidence, our security. We find that solace at 3 a.m. in the morning when something's wrong. So we thank Him for His bolamai, for that part of God's will that He's given us. But the word thelo, or His wishes, are a different story altogether. And this is what I want to focus on and look at today, because here lies the key to finding the will of God for your life, His wishes for you, things that you can do to walk in within His will for you. Let me ask you a question. Does man have a free will? What do you think? Does man have a free will to determine? Is man's will free, Bolamai? First, in thinking about that, you'll find that the free will, the term, is not in the Bible. It is man's term, or it's a human invention, free will. Turn, if you will, to sort some of this out to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Beginning with verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Surprise, servants of sin or servants of righteousness. We are bound as slaves to one or the other. Two ways only, either to sin or to righteousness. There's no wiggle room to will yourself something other than those two things. Where then, of course, is free will? Technically, and at best, we have freedom of choice to do the desires of God. Let me give you an example. In the Garden of Eden, to do the will of God, his philo now, in the Garden of Eden, or his wish, man had to do nothing to be righteous. He was sinless and he was perfect. But there was a commandment by God as an addition to all that, by refraining from wrong against his desire or his wish. And that was, don't eat of that tree, Adam. That's my wish. He didn't force him to eat of it or not to eat of it. Today, because of the choice that was made, the exact opposite is true. Man needs to do nothing to remain in rebellion and death, but must do something to claim righteousness by doing God's will or desire. What is that? Look over at chapter 7. You're at chapter 6. Look at chapter 7, verse 25. Chapter 7, verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Note, it has something to do with the mind. Turn over a little farther in Romans to chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Verse verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect philo. Philo of God. Here, Paul appeals to us because of the mercies of God to prove the will of God and presents two aspects to the process. The first one is the negative. Be not conformed to this world means morals, language, dress, drugs, or I should say, or no dress, ethics, premarital sex, manners, greed, hedonism, music of various kinds, etc. Wokeness, that's a new one. Don't find it there, but it's covered. We find these in Galatians referred to. Turn over to the book of Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, page 1757 in the Companion Bible. Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Be not conformed to the things of the world. The positive thing is to be transformed, to prove or to have access to God's will for you. So how do you do that? Well, Paul suggests two ways here in what we read there in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The first was to present your bodies a living sacrifice. The primary meaning here is to yield or stand beside of. We find it in the Lord's Prayer, in Christ's prayer. Not my will, but thine be done. Day by day, your will, your wish. Some of what we have read here. In sickness and in health. Best example that comes to mind that most of you will know, some of you will not. There was a man here named Jan McGinnis. And Paul's saying here, do not conform. Jan was ill to death. He did not conform, though, to the typical attitude of those who face critical illness and death prematurely. Even though it was hard and ended in premature death, he refused to wilt under the stress. He did not say, "Why me, Lord?" He did not say it was unfair. He did not pray for God to heal him. "Not my will, Lord, but thine," was Jan's attitude. He did not blame God. He did not become bitter. He did not envy others. And as a result, he did not conform, but became a tremendous source of strength to doctors, to nurses, to strangers, to friends. He couldn't hear, yet he went to spring training for baseball camp out in Arizona, even though he was on the death list. He was a beacon of hope to his family, to everyone that he came across. He willingly presented himself to faith in Christ regardless of what life threw his way. It is this type that Paul speaks of when he says, ye may prove or access the desires or wishes of God by a living sacrifice of yourself to family, friends, country. The second way was the redeeming of your mind. You know, this is a real dilemma under the circumstances in which we live. Turn back to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. We're forced to live in the flesh at this time. And we cannot not be faced with bad things, wrong things, sicknesses, illness, our minds. You know, we can have bad things in our mind. I'd like to kill that SOB type of attitude. But they don't have to remain there. We have the responsibility to say, with my mind, I will serve the laws of God. Paul does tell us how, believe it or not. Turn over to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Page 1779 in the Companion Bible. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Set your minds on these things. You cannot dwell on what you hear on the things on the evening news. Is it wrong to hear? No. But Paul's saying, dwell on those things that are good. Don't get wrapped up in what's going on in the world, because what we live in a Satan-dominated culture. So don't think on those things primarily. You've got to think on that which is good, your family, and et cetera, et cetera. Love, Valentine's Day. Briefly, get your mind out of the gutter. The world's in the gutter. Proverbs says, Proverbs 23:7 says, so as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I can remember reading that verse in high school and thinking I must be a girl. Or maybe a Corvette. The mind that seeks the will of God for one's life to be transformed, to be renewed, occupies the mind with things that are good. Caution. Don't trivialize his will for you. The will of God has nothing to do with mundane things like where you live. What do you like? Cold weather? Alaska? Florida? Warm? God doesn't care. What kind of car do you drive? You like Chevys or Fords? I don't know. Max likes Avantes. God doesn't care. Your career? Doctor, lawyer, cop, garbage man. It's not important. Your vocation? I had an employee some years ago that worked for me, and he couldn't figure out where to go on vacation because he wanted to know where God wanted him to go on vacation. And I kept telling him, look, God doesn't care where you go on vacation. He just wants you to be in the proper frame of mind while you're there. So to kind of summarize this, let me go back here over the five or six things that we've talked about. Six things for your thinking with regard to the will of God. The will of God is found in the Word of God. You have to go there and see what the verses are that we've looked at for the renewing of your mind. Number two, spiritual maturity comes from being in his will. Basically, it's sanctification is what it amounts to. Number three, there are two words translated, will, thelos and bolomai. Thelos being the desire or wishes, bolomai, purpose and determined. Number four, how to get into the will of God. Paul says, be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by your mind. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, an attitude in your life of not my will, but thine be done. Five, man has only two choices. He does not have a free will. He is subject to sin or subject to the righteousness of God. And number six, don't trivialize his will for your life. I hope this helps. Any questions? I'll talk to you about it afterwards. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love for us and the fact that we can know your will for us. Pray for each one of us here that we may continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of you, that we all may be rooted and grounded in your love. For us in Christ's name we pray. Amen.